Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Well, coming through on the in the transporter room is none other than musician, vocalist, and songwriter Elizabeth Elkins. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here in Madame Perry's salon. Just make yourself comfortable. Take a seat anywhere. Do you like what I've done with the place?
I do. It looks fantastic.
Oh, good. Kind of like the inside of Jeannie's bottle, isn't it?
It's a little bit weird, but I'm into it.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. I am so delighted that you could be on. You've been touring and traveling a lot lately. I think you've been out west in the last few weeks.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been strange. I was in L.A. for a week and then came back to Nashville for a couple of days and then went to New Mexico, which was amazing. Had some shows out there in a couple of days to just travel around. And back in Nashville, and then tomorrow I head up to New York. So difficult to tell even what season it is, because I feel like I've been in so many different climates over the last few weeks.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. From L.A. and, L.A. back to Tennessee. And back in, New Mexico, New York? You just kind of have to pack for whatever, right?
I know. I haven't really unpacked yet. I've just been throwing different layers in there.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So you're leaving for New York tomorrow. What are you doing there?
I'm going up with my writing partner, Vanessa, in Granville Automatic. We have a couple of songwriting sessions, and then we're playing at St. John's University Friday night, and then we head down to Baltimore, and we have a show with our friend Callahan in Baltimore Saturday night, and going to hang out with some friends in D.C., and then head back Sunday to Nashville.
Nice. Well, you know, I met you, I think it might have been 15 or 16 years ago in Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah, when you, when you put me and my Jennifer Perry combo on the Know Why CD.
That is some old school Atlanta right there.
For real. Yeah. All right. So, and it's been fun, you know, listening to your music, seeing how you change, how, you know, when you know someone, and even if you don't see them all the time or see them often, just to kind of feel like you're watching somebody, you know, grow and their career expand. And, you know, there's like a sense of pride, even though, you know, I didn't do the work, but, you know, I'm just very proud of watching you. And you, tell me about Granville Automatic.
Sure. Well, Granville, you know, my musical life has taken such strange twists. You know, if you told me that about that time period 10 or 15 years ago that I would be in Nashville with a country band, two country bands actually, and, you know, writing country music, I would probably have laughed at you. I was so into rock and roll at the time, which I still am, so it's always an interesting, it's an interesting mental battle at times. Mm-hmm. Well, Granville started in Atlanta in 2009. And it really came out of songwriting with a friend of mine who I've known, again, someone else in the Atlanta music scene for the last 10 or 15 years, which is Vanessa Oliveras. And we had known each other for a while. I had been coming up to Nashville to co-write songs up here. I'm not a country singer, and you know, she's kind of the country singer in town, so we connected for her to sing some demos for me and ended up being good writers together. So Granville started back then in Atlanta really as a writing project, and it grew into kind of a storytelling project, a lot about history. It's sort of an old country. I've always had a love for old country. You know, Graham Parsons, Willie Nelson, more of the songwritery, even a lot of the California country, Bakersfield stuff. So it really leans more toward that, and it's been really an outlet for me as a songwriter.
Yeah, so the way you met is really seems to be a perfect example of synchronicity.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I was, you know, I have a long-time rock band that's still together in Atlanta called Swear. And it was Swear, one of the guys was having kids about that time, and we were on about a six-month hiatus, and I was just like, please, let me do something. I got to stay busy musically. And that Vanessa kind of showed up about that time, and we had great chemistry. And, you know, it's led us to just 2 or 3 months ago, the two of us signed a publishing deal with BMG here in Nashville. And,
nice.
Yeah, it's been a strange path, but it has led me to being able to do what I want to do, which is write songs all day long rather than, you know, have a day job, which I did for a very, very long time. So,
yeah, I like that bumper sticker that says "Born to Rock, Forced to Work." Yeah.
Yes, that was the story of my life for sure.
Yeah, and well, congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's fantastic. And so, and actually, was it this year, last year, you showcased at the Billboard BMI Acoustic Brunch at South by Southwest?
Yeah, that was. I believe that was 2010. It's been a few years. I put a solo project out. It was me and a producer named Rusty Cobb in Atlanta, and it was a little more piano-based, a little more pop than what the Swear does. And so I put out a 5-song solo project, and about the time I was doing that was when I got invited to showcase out at South By. So that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. And see, you've done BMI showcases. And I'm saying this, just let the people in the audience know a bit more about you. You've done BMI showcases in L.A., Atlanta, Nashville, and at CMJ?
Uh-huh. Did a showcase up at CMJ and you know, played at Music Midtown in Atlanta a couple times and the Warped Tour, and have had some pretty awesome experiences and stages to play.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed it, but over the last year, maybe a year and a half, about every few months, I'll put up one of your videos on Facebook and just say, okay, just dig this, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, and it always gets such a great response. I don't know if you saw a comment somebody put on the event page on Facebook that with your picture, and it said, I think it was a musician I know that said it. It said, "This, boys and girls, is how you hold a guitar." Did you see that?
Whoever, I didn't see it, but thank you, whoever put that up. Yeah,
I think it's Johnny Daly. Yeah.
Huh. It's so weird because, you know, I've been playing a lot of acoustic lately with these country projects, which is not really my natural habitat. You know, I've played electric guitar since I was a teenager, and everyone here in Nashville is always so amused, so low. And to me, the acoustic feels super high because it's probably 3 or 4 inches higher than I play an electric. And I always laugh at it and say, man, this is just as low as I can wrestle this one. But yeah, I cannot play guitar up high. I don't know. You know, it just feels awkward to me.
Okay. Well, listen, let's go ahead and play some music.
Cool.
And I would like to play. This is one with Granville Automatic, No Stars.
My front porch, I can see you better. I wonder when you wrote that letter. Did you think of me as the enemy? 'Cause I'm still looking for a sign. It's just the Mason-Dixon line, but it's home to me. And this won't be easy. Virginia home. And Mary, Mary, light horse Harry, where you gonna go? Don't turn your back. Mm-hmm. West Point, the boys sit gym. How long is it till you send us off to war? And who are we fighting for? 'Cause I'm still staring at the ghost of U.S. Grant down in Mexico. We would not have guessed it would come to this. And don't turn your back, don't turn your back away from what you know. Don't turn your back, don't turn your back from that sweet Virginia home. And Mary, Mary, light horse Harry, where are you gonna go? Don't turn your back. Both sides away, march those cannons off to war.
Song on the new record we just put out last month called An Army Without Music, and it's all about the Civil War, and we really debated what song to lead with, because you know most of them have the full band, and mm-hmm. we decided that one, which is about Robert E. Lee deciding whether to take President Lincoln's offer to lead the Union Army or to stay with his native Virginia. It was just kind of, we jokingly called it our, like, F.U. to everybody, because it's like the softest, it's like the softest, quietest song ever, but it packs this kind of weird punch that is like, I don't know, it just feels like, okay, if you don't like this and this doesn't work, then we're all just quitting. That was kind of what we felt like. So it actually leads the record before the band comes in on the second track, so.
And yet when I listen to it, it, you see, and I'm not, you know, my husband's a musician songwriter, I am not, but I know what I hear and feel, and it makes me feel that just that the use of, or rather not using a lot at first, mm-hmm. is that the voice and even the softness and the quietness, that's where the power is that grabs you emotionally. It does me.
Yeah, Vanessa did a great job singing that track. That's
oh.
Probably one of my, you know, I debate that may be my favorite one on the record, just because it is so stark. But yeah, she killed it.
Yeah, she did. Way to go, Vanessa. And now, what? So you do the Granville Automatic and the Swear. So it's not. So you're doing both right now. It's not like you've left one and doing another. It just depends on where you are.
No, I've got you know, Granville is going strong, and the Swear we're playing in Atlanta, playing the Wyron Wood Festival in Alpharetta next week, and then we're playing a Halloween gig out in Conyers. So we play a couple, we don't play a lot, we play, you know, once a month, maybe a couple times, yeah, it just kind of depends on what comes up. Granville tours pretty regularly, then I have a like straight up radio country band with four girls called Farewell Angelina, and we're on the road a lot too, so
yeah.
We have no music ready yet, so that's why you didn't get anything.
Farewell Angelina, yes, I love that. I think, where did I track that on YouTube, I believe? You've got a lot of good videos on YouTube, so anybody who wants to get to know more about Elizabeth Elkins' music, go to YouTube, there's a treasure there.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. It's all over the map.
And I had said on, oh, and by the way, if you're out there listening and you want to ask Elizabeth a question or talk to her, you can call in 646-716-9922. That is a toll-free number in the U.S., I believe. So tell me about, I had put on the event that there are some, even though you're, gosh, goodness knows you are well known. I mean, you know, you're playing the showcases in South by Southwest. And, but you're also, some people who may not know who they're hearing have heard you a lot on movies and television shows.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. And a lot of it has been the swear, like 95% of it has been the swear songs. Have been, you know, they've had, I've had probably 50 or 60 placements on television and in some films of those songs. Everything from MTV to FX and ABC Family and Discovery Channel and Fox and all kinds of stuff. And then Granville recently had a whole, almost a whole song on American Crime on ABC a few months ago. So it's just been, I've been very fortunate with that. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is right place, right time. And you know, if you have a song in front of a music supervisor and it's just what they're looking for, then you get really lucky. But, and it's become a trickier game than it used to be. But yeah, The Swear has a song called Deadfall from a couple, actually made it on two of our records in different versions. And it's been, seems to be what music supervisors like. And so it's been used on a handful of songs, despite having a bad word in it. I guess they just missed it, which makes me even happier.
Even better, yeah. Because once, see, I listed Smallville, Rescue Me, Jersey Shore. It's been on CNN, the film Mean Girls 2. Name some other TV shows where we were. Was it American Crime? Yeah.
American Crime. It was a show for a while back before the CW was the CW called Roswell that I had some songs on. Man, like every show on it, so many shows on MTV. And I actually, when I moved to Nashville, I got rid of my television, so which I kind of miss. So, you know, gosh, let me think. Jersey Shore, Real World, Road Rules, the Real World Road Rules Challenge, 16 and Pregnant. I mean, a whole bunch of those shows.
Wow.
Some weird shows on Discovery Channel about animals. And
that's so, got to be cool, though, to hear. You know, if you, even though you don't have a TV, if you are with one, near one, you're watching a show and you know your song is coming up, it's got to be a good, a really cool feeling.
Yeah, the two coolest ones were definitely Smallville and Rescue Me. Smallville, it was an awesome scene, and Rescue Me, you know, Dennis Leary handpicked those songs, so that was super cool. Yeah, and both of those, they used, like, minute and a half of the music, and it had like this, it was like on Smallville, it was like a vampire like sorority party. It was hilarious. And on Rescue Me, it was a kid like screaming at her mom and throwing her stuff all around her room. So I was like, hell yeah, this is the kind of film and TV placement I want. Yeah, so you know, it's rare that you get to see them. I mean, we, you know, a lot of times it gets used and you hear about it later and you have to try to track it down. But I got to see those too, and they were super fun.
Oh, that's a cool. Well, why don't we go ahead? I want to hear another song, something by The Swear. And a couple that I've got, well, I've got several queued up. But one is German Magazine, and one is Pornography on Avenue A. Do you think we should go?
Those are both on, we put out a record called Golden Hymns in Hell last year, which is my favorite one. We recorded it, like, in the rehearsal space at Avatar in Atlanta, you know, overdubbed vocals at a friend's house. It's totally raw. Let's do German Magazines. It's kind of about pornography too, but it's one of my favorites.
Okay, Elizabeth Elkins, The Swear, German Magazines. right, girl, you know I'm a rocker. I love that. Love it.
Oh, thank you. You can see why I don't sing country music.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, that's
just
a good
play the guitar.
Yeah, baby. And how you play the guitar. Oh yeah, I love that a lot.
Thank you.
So, what would you want? Where can people find you? You're on Twitter, you're on all the social media. I know you're on Facebook and
I'm on Facebook. You know, my bands are all on Twitter and Instagram, but I'm not. I'm on Instagram personally. It's Elizabeth M, as in McDavid, my middle name. So Elizabeth M. Elkins on Instagram. Twitter, you can follow the bands at The Swear and at Gville Automatic and at Farewell A Music. So those are all on Twitter, and all the bands are on Facebook. You can like them, and we've all got websites. Just pretty easy to Google and find all the bands.
Okay, and I will definitely be finding all this for you folks, listing it all on this page, as well as on Madam Perry Salon page on Facebook. I'll have everything for you, and I'll be tweeting this as well. So, you know, I watch out for you. I bring you the best, and I give you the 411, the info, the scoop, the bird's eye low down to follow on to. So, now, you said you're going to New York. Going to ask you what we need to be watching out for with Elizabeth Elkins, but before you answer that, I want to tell everybody about a couple of things that they need to know. And that is, first of all, films. There is a guy who has a new film, and it's called, make sure I get this right, it is called Jake and the Giants. And it's an animation film, which, love, but Jack and the Giant is not only, let me tell you what some of their taglines are. You're light in the dangerous world. You are never too small. Jake and the Giants, and it's going to be out in 2016. But Jake, in this movie, there is also one of the coolest, hippest chicks ever. Animation is up to date, called Debbie Dareberry. And it says, so the story goes like this. Jake and his, you know what, I'm not even going to tell you this time. I'm going to let you find yourself. It's directed by Ken Butterworth. If you want to find it, you go to boatangel.com/family films. And there's several in there, but you'll find it. But I'm also going to have more information on this film, Jake and the Giants, directed by Kent Butterworth, and starring Debbie Dareberry on Madam Perry Salon page and on Twitter. Another thing you would love to know about, you know, these days, you know, Elizabeth, you know this too, people are set by so many images and so many sounds. I always tell my clients, you know, I'm a publicist, I tell them that it's a short attention span world. And people see so much, they hear so much that it's hard for them to remember, you know, all the kinds of stuff that is out there for them. And so then everybody goes, oh, you should do this, or you should create viral images, do Pinterest, do Facebook, do Instagram, whatever. Yeah, Twitter. But sometimes it's hard to keep up, you know, with all the new things and how to do it. And there are some easier ways. Well, I've met a lady, and she has this business. It's called, let me give you the website, www.udemy.com. Udemy. And what you want to do is you want to go on the site to where it says viral images, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram. Now, she can teach you how to create amazing quote pictures for your social media, fast, easy, and free. In fact, she's giving a free course right now. And just go on the site, look on there. She's going to show, her name is Anna Lind. And Anna just makes it easy for, as I call it, the rest of us. Not the people who know about coding and graphic design and everything that didn't grow up with it. You know, we're learning as we go. But she has a free course you can take, how to create amazing quote pictures. And it'll make, so that way when you've got a message or you've got an event or something that you want to draw people's attention to, whether it's your business or a course you're teaching or your band, she'll teach you how to make a really eye-popping picture, just how to get the quote just right, how to do it, and it's not frightening. She makes it very, very easy. Anna Lind is, I consider her like an angel at this stuff, the way she teaches you. So go on his site. I'll also have the information on Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook, and I'll be tweeting about it as well. And, yeah, maybe I'll get her on one of my night music shows sometime so she can tell people about it. So those are good things to know. And one more thing. People who are interested in gaming and in walking through keeping up with the NBA 2K16, there is a channel for you on YouTube. It's a gaming channel called Hand Over Fist TV, just like it sounds. Hand Over Fist TV on YouTube. They have 50 videos up now. And as I said, it's mainly a gaming channel, and they were one of the first gaming channels to put up a walkthrough look at the NBA 2K16, as well as many other things. And they're also on Twitter at Hand Over Fist TV. I'll be sharing their information, too, on Madame Perry Salon page and on Twitter. Now, let's get back to Elizabeth Elkins. And Elizabeth, I've got a caller. Hey, I've got a caller on the line with us. And I think it looks, oh, no, she's coming in the door of the salon here. Madame Perry Salon. Come on in, honey. It looks like my friend Kenya Colbert. Hi, Kenya.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you? Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just listening to the show, enjoying the music. I like
Sweet.
That guitar playing girl.
thank you.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's not even enough that she's the grand prize winner of the John Lennon Songwriting Contest and all the big things she showcased for Billboard, South by Southwest, and all the television shows and movies. But, you know, as she said, and I would think this was pretty cool, too, that on the TV show Rescue Me, that Dennis Leary chooses the music himself.
Really? That's
so
pretty cool.
So when her song is on there, that means he picked it out. And which that tells Madame Perry that if he handpicked that song, then he probably plays it for his friends, his family.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying, that's
yeah.
your opinion. Definitely.
Yeah.
So what inspires all of the music? Did I miss that part already?
No, I don't think we talked about it, really. You know, it's very different depending on the band. I mean, I think, you know, I was born in June. I'm a Gemini, and there really are very two different sides of me. And
I have two of you.
The swear stuff is just, it's been my outlet, that kind of writing, which is a little bit, you know, it's a lot about lyric, but it's not like, you know, it's not, I'm not really trying to write for anybody at all. I'm just trying to write for myself on that. And it's a lot of just weird combinations of words. And it's just kind of how I deal with all sides of my life. And it's also a lot about watching people. I really like to watch people and different people's relationships. It's just fascinating to me. So that, you know, that's inspired by, you know, some of my favorite songwriters are like, I've always been super into Morrissey and Mike Ness mm-hmm. from Social Distortion. But a lot of stuff I get from reading books. I really do like reading a lot of historical fiction, weird fiction stuff, a lot of history stuff, a lot of poetry. So like T.S. Eliot and folks like that are just as inspirational to me as music. You know, so a lot of the bands, like, the sound of the guitars and the sound of the bands and stuff is a little different than where I come from the lyrics. With Granville Automatic, I have always really loved history. I think I get that from my dad.
Really?
And so, okay. Yeah, so it was like a challenge. It was Vanessa's idea originally. We were writing a lot of like story songs, and she said, you know, you are always reading history and you love history so much. Why don't you try to write songs that are not like boring history songs, but sort of people can still relate to them, but they're about these different events that happen. So it's like she challenged
right.
me, and we travel so much that we see all these cool places. And I've always also felt pretty connected with ghosts. I kind of have a weird ESP ghost thing. And so mm-hmm. a lot of times we'll be in places and I get a sense of a story or ideas for stories just being in those places. So,
oh, that's
yeah,
fascinating.
Weird.
I like that.
Yeah, so we always keep a list of ideas from travels. And I know I went one time and we were in L.A. and we visited a lot of the California missions. And we went to a mission out in San Gabriel, which is in Alhambra in East L.A. And I was sitting in the chapel section of it, just kind of, I like to go to these places and just listen in silence. I mean, I do that in bars. I just like to listen and watch people.
Oh,
and,
that's pretty cool.
And, yeah, so I'm sitting there, and I just kind of hear this voice say, tell my story. And mm-hmm. it's empty. There's nobody around. I have no idea what the story is. I just have it written down on my list. I'm like, you know, this person or entity is going to be mad at me that I don't know what his or her story is yet. So I keep reading about that place, hoping I can figure out what the story is before I have a really mad ghost. So, yeah, that's a long-winded answer.
I am so loving that.
No, but we love that answer.
Elizabeth, let me ask you. So that is actually so cool. So I'm Aquarius, right? And Gemini and Aquarius have this really uncanny relationship sometimes. That's kind of weird, but we get each other so much
well,
sometimes.
Well, man, I have never dated an Aquarius. I don't have any Aquarius friends, so this could explain all of my problems. Maybe I need to track someone down.
Yeah, just like for Gemini, Sagittarius, Aquarius, we're like the three that kind of blend well. We blend and we kind of lean off of each other. We pick up things from each other that kind of inspires and motivates, and it's crazy. And I have Sagittarius and Geminis around me, my sister, my daughter, and it's crazy how that mixture kind of feeds into what you're talking about. And I'm loving that because they inspire me sometimes to try something, like go with what you're feeling, like you're saying right there. I'm not a singer. I'm not a writer or anything like that. But in my work, I'm a life coach. But when I'm thinking of trying to produce something, to create something, my mind is like that. It's like, okay, but what is the – just go with you. So don't think of what is already out there. See what mm-hmm. the universe is feeding you to do. And I get that from you. That is so cool.
I need to. I'm going to find some Aquariuses and Sagittarius. If you guys are out there listening, come be my friend. I need that positive, get stuff done energy around me. I'm all for it.
That's right. It's really good. But I love that you're able to not marry every single idea, like you're writing from not this place of, okay, I'm just going to write about relationships. So let me just write about love. You're just writing about what is flowing through you. That is really good. That is,
oh,
I like
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
Just
thanks for asking the question.
Yeah,
and actually,
thank you.
It makes
your
music unique. You know, that's what makes you stand apart. It's not like everybody else.
And you know, it's not. It wasn't too long of an answer because I mean, it was just. This was fascinating. You know, I always tell Kenya I'm an armchair sociologist.
Mm-hmm.
Or after I went to college, I became an armchair ethnographer. You know, I kind of gave myself a promotion with a bigger word. I know, but and yeah, you find like the playwright David Mamet says that's where he gets a lot of his dialogue. He'll just go to a cafe, get some cup of coffee or something, sit down, and just listen to people's conversation around him and take notes. And
yeah, watching and listening is the way to go.
Uh-huh. It is the way to go. It is. Yeah. And you know what? Those feelings, especially that thing in there where you said, write my story. I'm not sure who was telling you to write their story, but it gave you that outlook to look for, to look deeper into whatever it is you're about to do. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like it's spurring you to go and figure out what. So now your mind and your body is like more open to something that you might not have paid that much attention to in the beginning.
Absolutely. I think that's important in everything. You're talking about whole life philosophy right there. You were on it.
That makes sense, though. I like that. Good for you. I like that. I love Smallville. I know my mom is a big Smallville watcher. Man, she used to watch that forever, ever in a day.
So what song was on Smallville?
What song? A song called Deadfall.
Uh-huh. Deadfall, that's what you were talking about.
Deadfall, yeah. And it's on both. It's on, there's two versions of it. There's a version on, is there? Actually, it's on the Hotel Rooms and Heart Attack album by The Swear. That's which Swear Records on. It was on I had another band before there that we put an early version out before The Swear. But no, as far as like iTunes and stuff, it's on that Hotel Rooms and Heart Attacks record.
Oh, who came up with that name?
You know what? There was a guy I played in The Swear for a long time, awesome guy named Jeremy Zamora. And Jeremy was so good when we came to titling a record, he would just look through all my lyrics and just a lyric would pop out to him. He'd go, let's call it this. Like, the first record is called Every Trick's a Good One, and that's a line from one of the songs on there. And same thing, Hotel Rooms and Heart Attack comes from a song called Always Wasted. And he says, print out the lyrics for me. Then he'll just like circle it and say, let's call it that. So they are all lines from lyrics, all the album titles.
Hey, I've got a question for you from our friend David Hurley. And David is an author and poet, and he's also the publisher of Subtlety Magazine. And he sends in his questions, and he's one of our favorite people here. He asked, Elizabeth, having won the John Lennon songwriting contest, I wonder what you think of John Lennon, and would he be very popular or even relevant if he were alive and doing music today?
Oh, that's a really great question. And I like the name of your magazine because I think Subtlety is very important.
Subtlety? Let me see. Subtlety is spelled SUBTLE and then capital TEA.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay.
So John Lennon, you know, my favorite Beatle is George Harrison, so I don't know if that means they're going to take away my songwriting award. but, you know, you've asked an even more important question, which is some of these great songwriters from the pre-MTV years, would they be successful now and would they be relevant? And I think, in particular, as a songwriter writing in Nashville, writing for radio right now, that's just an incredibly good question. I think, and I've seen so many artists and so many songwriters here that are just so incredible and they're not being heard. I think that's true across the country. You know, would he be relevant? Yes, I think he had so much to say that he would be relevant. Would he have been given a platform to be heard if he just showed up as a solo act today? I don't know. Because country music in particular is about so many different things. But there is a whole sort of Americana and pop world where there's a little bit more room for an outside perspective and a little bit of something different. So I think that it's a tough question. I'm such a fan of, for example, Leonard Cohen, who, you know, he doesn't really sell records right now. I think that he would find a way to be heard because he's so inventive. He would have come up with some sort of podcast or YouTube or something that would get his message out there in a unique way, which is kind of what he did initially. So, but with the way the music business works right now, it'd be an uphill climb for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
If he came in today. And then, I don't know, then you wonder too, if he were, if not like just starting today, but if he were still alive.
If he were still alive, I'm sure he would still be relevant, of course. But also the thing that happens so much, it seems like in the music industry now, is there's just such an emphasis on the immediate, and there's not a lot of room. You know, look what Fleetwood Mac was on, like album 15 when Rumors came out. And there's right now there's not that room for artists to develop. So I wonder who we're losing because labels aren't giving people the money and time to build that kind of career. Who might we be losing that would put out a first record that no one would hear and a fifth record that no one would hear, but then would put out an amazing record like Rumors 10 or 15 years in. So that worries me a little bit. There's just such an emphasis. I mean, it's always been an emphasis on youth, but it seems more pronounced on just really quick money and quick hits and not as much ability for an artist to grow without doing what everyone's doing right now, which is you keep a day job and you balance that somehow and you try to get out on the road and tour and do both, which can be really difficult sometimes. So I think that's a great question, and it's probably one that has many multifaceted answers.
Well, yeah, you know, and you think I've really been interested, you know, watching how this is my amateur sociologist, how some musicians have changed. You know, 2 weeks ago I had on here, or it might have been last Tuesday, Cheetah Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember him from the Dead Boys and Rocket from the Tombs? And then
he was
with Sylvain. And of course, he's been in Nashville for about 10 years. Well, actually, he's just moved to Austin. But he's been in Nashville for about 10 years and working with Plowboy Records. But I can tell when I played some of his old songs and some of his new songs, he's still got the cheetah edge. But there's probably because of age, you know, things that you go through and changes in life, and there's a a different kind of a soulful emotion in his lyrics too, and the music part. And, you know, I love seeing how people change. But, yeah, you're right. Some people stay relevant, like, you know, Bowie and Jagger. They somehow know how to keep the image fresh and exciting and keep it right up at that level. And, of course, it's Beatles.
Well, you have to wonder, too. Yeah, you have to wonder, too, who's going to, you know, are we creating bands now that are going to have a legacy? Like, when you think of bands, despite whether you like them, love them, or hate them, whatever, there are those big bands like Zeppelin and the Beatles, and even into, you know, later on, R.E.M. or U2, or these bands that just have these massive careers and, you know, can sell out arenas and just have long lives. I saw, for example, I saw the Foo Fighters last night here in Nashville, and I kind of started thinking about
you?
It.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, are we building bands that will continue to have 15 and 20 year careers? Are we building bands that don't get that kind of opportunity now? So I don't know.
All right. Hey, I don't know if you noticed this, Elizabeth, but somebody else came in the studio just a moment ago. And you say you like to read a lot of fiction as well as history, which I do too. Do you read much horror?
You know, I do have, I have probably read everything Anne Rice has written about 10 times. I'm a really big Anne Rice fan, but I haven't really gone much further into the horror genre, and that's, I know, on the lighter side of it anyways. But, no, so I haven't really explored that very much.
Yeah, well, I happen to have Jasper Bark in here. And
hello, Jasper.
Hello there. Good choice with Anne Rice, by the way.
I do. I really like Anne Rice.
Thank you. And so you'll I don't know if you've seen any of Jasper's videos.
I haven't, but I need to, it sounds like.
Oh, books. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'll make sure I get them to you. But anyway, thank you for coming in, Jasper. I had some Howling Wolf sound effects for you, but I just didn't want to break the mood here. Oh, and Jasper, your friend Kenya is here. Did you see her?
Hello. Hi, Jasper.
Hey,
hi,
Kenya.
How are you?
I am very well. I'm very pleased to hear from you.
And you as well. It's always good to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, well, we know Elizabeth Elkins. I know that you can't stay. You've got to go, and you're getting ready to head to New York tomorrow. We wish you all the best. Please come back when you can stay longer and tell us more. And maybe come back and bring some of your band members with you.
We will definitely have to do that. Well, thank you for having me. It's nice to meet all you guys, hang out with
you.
Hey,
this is real. And thank you so very much.
All right, you guys have a good one. I'll talk to you everybody soon, I hope.
Okay, have a good night. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
Gracious. Of all the gin joints in all the world, Jasper Bark had to walk into ours, Kenya.
Yes, again.
I
and you
love
didn't
it.
Have to draw me a map this time.
I'm just happy that you're here, and I'm on this side of the phone this time.
Fantastic.
Well, hey.
How are you doing?
How are you doing, Jasper?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I'm rather busy at the moment with quite a few things on my plate. In fact, since we last spoke, I was on the show with Véronique, the lovely and extremely talented Véronique. And since then, actually, Véronique and I have been in touch, and we're actually collaborating on a project together.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, because whenever I put two people on a show, I hope it's something where it's got just enough contrast and comparison to where I can see something developing from that, something else being born from your for the minds of Véronique Chevalier and Jasper Bark. We'll know to fasten our seatbelts and get ready.
So yes. So anyway, that proves to be very exciting, and I'm sure at some point we can come back and tell you all about that. But it's in the early stages. Hmm. And other than that, I'm at work on another novel, and but I'm actually here to talk about a Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign I'm part of with the astonishingly it's called Beyond Lovecraft, and it's drawn, illustrated by the astonishingly talented Scottish artist Rob Moran, who His artwork is Jaw on the Floor, amazing, and he's certainly turned out some of the best art of his entire career for this project. It's called Beyond Lovecraft. It draws directly on the work of the legendary horror author H.P. Lovecraft, who invented, amongst other things, the Cthulhu mythos. And interestingly, Lovecraft was pretty much unknown during his lifetime. He published he published 30 or 40 stories in a handful of magazines, and died pretty much penniless. And today, his work sells millions and millions and millions. He has fans from people as prominent as Guillermo del Toro, who's desperate to turn most of his works into films, through to Clive Barker and Stephen King, who cite him as a major, major influence. And of course, he's obviously very influential on me as well, and just about anybody who works in the horror genre. And this, Beyond Lovecraft, is what you call a portmanteau horror story. It's like one of those classic anthology stories where you have an ongoing story which branches off into lots of little short stories. And each of those is based upon lots of Lovecraft's original stories.
And so Beyond Lovecraft is the name of your project?
That's right. So if you go to Indiegogo.com, and look up Beyond Lovecraft, you can see me waxing very lyrically, going on and on with great excitement about this project. And you can also see some of Rob's amazing, absolutely amazing artwork. We're raising money. We have a publisher, but due to the current economic state of the arts in general, they can't afford to pay us an advance. So we can't afford to work on it, although this is an incredible labor of love for both of us, everyone involved in the project. So we're kindly asking for people's assistance to raise funds, particularly for Rob. So rather than doing some hack work that will just help to pay the mortgage, we want to completely devote ourselves to this project. It's so far we've managed to raise over $1,000 in one day, which takes us an eighth of the way. We've been very, very lucky. It takes us an eighth of the way towards our campaign goal. Anything that anyone can do to help us out will be hugely appreciated. Please go and check out the campaign, Beyond Lovecraft, on Indiegogo.com. Even if you don't feel you can contribute, then if you could share the link or just leave us a message, any little bit of integration will be extremely helpful. And we have got some completely unique perks on the campaign that you simply won't find anywhere else.
Not anywhere else
on the internet.
One of the things
that we're doing is we are selling houses. You can actually buy property and real estate in the iconic town of Innsmouth. Innsmouth was a town that that Lovecraft completely created. It's set in the small state of Maine, which obviously any Stephen King fans will recognise. It's inspired loads and loads of other authors to write about it. It also inspired Stephen King's fictional town of Derry, which is included in both it and his 112263. Yeah.
I know the story so well. I know Derry so well. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Derry is based partly on Innsmouth. Innsmouth was the original fictional main town that was. Rob, the artist, is building a scale diorama of the whole of Innsmouth, carefully mapped out according to the original stories and everything. And we're actually, as one of the contributors' perks, we will sell you one of these houses in Maine. It will not only will you get a house in this diorama, it will come with a special realtor's brochure giving you the history of your property and a part of the town, and you'll get a special deed of purchase. On top of that, there's loads of other perks. You can appear as a character in one of the stories. You, we're also podcasting, so you can join us to be interviewed as one of the guests on our podcast. And at some point as well, we have a social media campaign worked out where you can actually interact live with the characters in the stories. So as I'm saying, no other bit of social media, no other crowdfunding campaign is offering perks quite like this. And if you are at all partial to gothic horror of any kind or the works of H.P. Lovecraft, I can promise this is an incredibly exciting and really fun campaign to get involved with.
Oh my God, this is so exciting!
What's the name again?
It's Beyond Lovecraft. If you just go to Indiegogo.com and type in Beyond Lovecraft.
Okay, I'm going there right now.
I will be putting the link on the Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook, the Lone Wolf Communications page on Facebook, because I feel like Rob Moran and Jasper Bark are going to need a publicist on this. So it'll also be.
Oh, my goodness. That would be fantastic. That would be absolutely
Jennifer. They're going to need a publicist, and I hope that they're thinking of me. And
right.
Yeah, I'm talking. Also, I'll have it on Twitter. On my Twitter here,
okay.
And come on, let's face it. You guys know that I am a professional, how do you call it, ghost tweeter?
Mm-hmm.
I tweet professionally for some other businesses.
Wow.
But in their voice. So if I tweet about it, wink, wink, everybody tweets about it.
Wow.
Wink, wink.
Whether they know it or not.
Absolutely. That would be amazing. Any assistance that you can give would be hugely gratefully received.
Well, we're delighted. We're thrilled about this. Are you on Google Plus?
I am on Google Plus, yes.
Okay, well, I'll put it on there as well and everything else I can come up with. Wow.
That's superb.
My family's going to love hearing about
this. These are fantastic perks, too.
Really? Yeah, my mom is a big fan, so she, oh my gosh, yes, Jasper, we're going to talk about this, okay? We're going to spread the news.
I'm so grateful. That is so wonderful of you. Thank you very much.
We'll be your evangelist on this.
Yes, well, that's superb, because I can promise to all your listeners, if you are a fan of Lovecraft and of the Cthulhu mythos and of many tentacled monstrosities, then this will completely change the way you see H.P. Lovecraft, the Cthulhu mythos, and in fact, possibly even horror itself.
And
wow.
Now, can we find this on the jasperbark.com page website too?
It's not up on my website. My website's currently it's currently undergoing a complete makeover. My
oh,
tech
cool.
guy is rebuilding it, so I haven't actually been blogging it. That's possibly
okay.
the one place on the internet where you won't find it, sadly.
It's still it's a great website to go to. And so the artist, Rob Moran in Scotland?
That's right.
Where does he live in Scotland? I got a few friends over there.
He lives, he's like almost a hermit, actually, interestingly. He comes from Glasgow, but now he lives out in one of the islands in the Outer Hebrides. The island of, I think it's pronounced, it's one of the Orkney Islands, and I think it's called Stromness.
Stromness.
Like
all
there.
Right, yeah, I got a few
and his house is called Gersti, I think that's how you pronounce it. So, yes, he lives in a remote house out on a very tiny Scottish island surrounded by chickens and cats.
How enchanting.
Jasper, can I tell you something?
Sorry?
Jasper, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I could listen to you talk all night. I love your accent. I could just
Thank
listen
you.
To
Thank
you,
you so
all
much.
Night. So easy to listen to.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's definitely completely mutual.
I'm over here like
and
a
Rob's
little
got an
kid.
Amazing,
like...
Well, Rob's got a very, very broad Scottish brogue. So yeah, and he's very much he's the sort of person you would imagine standing next to William Wallace in Braveheart.
Oh,
that kind of
really?
Warriors.
Wow. Player.
Well, you know, my friend, and where he lives sounds totally enchanting. But do you know Janie Godley, the comedian?
I don't. I must.
Yeah,
confess,
my
sorry.
Friend Janie lives in Glasgow. Yeah, and I know when she
wow.
came to, you know, yeah. And so does Danny Gillen, the author and musician. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you should meet my pals over there. Yeah. Well, listen, we're about to wind up. So, Jasper, Bart, we are so happy that you came on to talk about this. And this sounds fantastic. And don't forget, folks, stay with me a second. Don't forget, udemy.com, udemy.com/viral images. My friend Anna can teach you how to create all kinds of amazing quote pictures for social media, fast, easy, and free. She's got a free class. Jasper Bark has H.P. Lovecraft, has his Beyond Lovecraft project coming up with artist Rob Moran. And if you know Jasper Bark, you know this is going to be just phenomenal and magnificent. Also, thanks to Elizabeth Elkins from the Swear, Granville Automatic. You hear her music on television and movies all the time. Get to know more about her. And my friend Kenya Colbert, thanks for joining us tonight. And
yeah,
David Hurley
up.
For his question. Jasper Bark, give us that Indiegogo
again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Really, really appreciate it. And it's a real pleasure to chat to you, Kenya, as well. And to you also, Jennifer.
You as well. Okay.
Thank you. Anything
okay, nice
we can
meeting
do.
You again.
We're your girls on the side of the pond, okay?
You can
all
talk
right.
to me any old time, Jasper, any old time.
I'll
all
take
right.
you up on that.
All right, and thanks
okay.
for joining Madame Perry Salon. Now, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.